Let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Well, good morning. Hold up your Bibles and we'll jump into the Word today. We make this prayer and proclamation every week here at New Beginnings, just so you know. We do it because it is our prayer, it's our proclamation, and everything that I'm going to tell you comes from one place only. It is the Word of God, is what we say. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, today begins a new message series through the letter to the Ephesians. I will be preaching through the letter to the Ephesians over, and I'm not sure, I didn't put a certain number of weeks because I'm not sure how many weeks it's going to be, but it'll probably take us through most of the summer this year, so you won't want to miss days this summer. You're going to plan vacations, go Monday through Saturday, come back. They think I'm joking. The series is titled Clothed, like clothes with a D on the end. My goal in this series is to give you a kind of a better understanding of what you already have and what you already own as a result of your relationship with Jesus. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the letter so you better understand the context of what's happening here, why it was written, who wrote it, who it was written to, all those kinds of things, and then we kind of have a better understanding as we read and study it over these next several weeks. Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in a Roman jail cell about the year 60 AD, so about 27 years after the resurrection of Jesus, Paul writes this letter from this Roman jail cell. The city of Ephesus was located on the north coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It was a major city, part of the Roman Empire. That city was a major port city, kind of like the city of New Orleans. Lots of goods and people came through the port of Ephesus, and it was a very prosperous city. Lots of people came to not only pass through, but came to live there as a result of its location. Its location is now current Turkey, the country of Turkey. So you just kind of give you an idea of where that's at. Ephesus also is a very pagan city, had a monument to the goddess Diana in the heart of the city, and they worshiped foreign gods, other gods. But I want you to know Paul loved the church at Ephesus. And the reason I believe he loved the church so much was there was a real response to the gospel in that region, and there were many churches planted as a result of Paul's time there. As a matter of fact, Paul loved that area so much that he spent about 3 years in Ephesus after he planted the church there. That's how much he loved it. He didn't just plant it and leave. He stayed for 3 years. That church would later get handed off to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Timothy would become eventually the pastor of the church at Ephesus. The Ephesian letter is also known in theological circles as what is referred to as a circular letter. So we read, for instance, we read letters like the letter to the Corinthian church. That was a letter to one particular church about specific things happening in that church or issues happening in that church. This letter was not written to a church with a problem or a set of problems. It was written to the church at large, and it would have been distributed or read in churches in a region. And so when Paul wrote this, he would have given this to someone, and they would have literally gone from church to church reading this letter to each of these churches. And so why it's so appropriate to us today is because of the context. Again, it wasn't written to a church. It was written to the church, and you are, folks, the church. Amen? So the letter is broken up into, if we're going to outline the letter, it's broken up into three major divisions. The first one is our spiritual possessions, what we have in Christ, but what we have as a result of our relationship with Christ. It's found in chapter 1. The second division is our spiritual position in Christ, who we are. Look at your neighbor and say, who we are. It's who we are, chapters 2 and 3. You're going to really learn about who you are. And then the third division is our responsibilities in Christ, or what we're called to do, or what we were created to do in chapters 4, 5, and 6. Now, let me stop for a minute and just tell you four things that Ephesians tells us that we were really created to do. The first one is that we're to walk in unity. Unity, I believe, within the body of Christ is vital and it's important. I want you to know we're never going to agree 100% of the time on 100% of the topics. That would be odd and that would be unusual. How many married people in the house? Lots of you. So I have a question for you married folks. Do you agree 100% of the time with your spouse? Some of y'all are laughing because it's kind of a funny joke. Because I know you're looking at your spouse and you're thinking, how can I have unity? She's weird. And listen, guys, we all think that, but I want you to know she's weird because that's the way God created her. So knock him, not her. And here's the thing. She may be weird, but she was created to be weird to give you some balance. How about that? So we, even though in our household, now 36 years we've been married, 36 and a half years, I know, isn't that great that she gets to live with me? I'm just kidding. I get to live with her. 36 and a half years. Amazing. But I want you to know it hasn't been without its hills and valleys, right? Because we don't always agree. But you know what? We agree that we're going to agree anyway. Whether we actually agree or not, we work it out. You know what? Within the body of Christ, folks, we got to learn to work it out. So often in church today, we quit working it out. We just go to another church. Had enough of that. I don't like him anymore. I don't like her anymore. I don't like what he said this, she did that, blah, 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 you know. Unity. We're called to walk in it. The second thing we're called to walk in is purity. Sexual immorality. It's not from God. And God speaks heavily against it. And we're to walk in purity. Chapters 4 and 5. We're to walk in harmony, chapter 5. And then we're to walk in victory, amen? Amen? We're to walk in victory. We do that, and he would find that in chapter 6. And so I want to turn your attention this morning to chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, you open it to chapter 4 and scan down to verse 17. And chapter 4, I believe, kind of sets the tone, if you will, for the whole book of Ephesians and the whole direction of this series that I'm going to be talking to you about, the series called Clothed, right? We're putting on some new spiritual clothing. And so today I'm going to teach you how to clothe yourselves with some new clothes. You're like, oh, I love to go shopping. Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul said, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires or deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Today's the day we change our spiritual clothes. When we come to Christ, I think sometimes we expect that God is going to take away all of the old desires, all of the old habits, all of the old addictions, all of the old things that we once had. Anybody fall into that trap? I don't understand why. I prayed to receive Christ. I walked up the aisle. I even got baptized in water. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I did all these things, and yet I still have some of these desires, and I can't seem to shake them, like that little dog that just won't get off your ankle. Get off. And if that's you, if you've fallen into that trap of believing that God is just going to somehow mystically and magically take away all the desires, you're wrong. It doesn't really work that way. You see, it only works that way when you decide that you're going to surrender all to Jesus and allow him to lead. See, many of us come to the place where we'll decide to make Jesus Savior, but not Lord. We like the idea of Savior. Ticket to heaven. Yeah, baby, I'm going to heaven. I got a mansion with my name on it. I got streets of gold. I got all that fun stuff. But Lord, no, I'm good. I'm in charge. I'm good. Look, I'm going to go ahead and drive, Jesus. You sit over in the passenger seat. You just tell me to watch out for the bumps. And Jesus is like, I don't ride shotgun. Jesus says, I drive. Like Pastor Kevin. Pastor Kevin can't ride shotgun. He gets car sick. I think Jesus gets car sick because we don't drive very well. The moment that you decide that you're going to give Jesus everything is the moment that Jesus becomes Lord of everything. But he'll let you hold on to whatever you want, long as you want. You can be chief. You can drive if you want. But don't look to me when things ain't going the way you thought they should go. I can't understand why I can't kick this habit. I can't understand why this keeps happening. I can't understand. And we go, why, God? And God's like, you should look in a mirror. It's about surrendering control, giving the leadership of your life into the lordship of Jesus. Amen? Now, remember, Paul's writing this letter to the church, and the teachings of Ephesians are really for the follower of Christ. And so if I'm talking to you today and you're not, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, then maybe you're not a follower of Christ. You're just a church attender. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody starts somewhere. But I want you to know, you can't really comprehend. Because this letter was written to the church. This letter wasn't written to reach people outside the church. It was written to the church. Now, don't get me wrong. All the teachings of the Bible help us to grow in our faith and will teach us things about ourselves in Christ and all that. But nevertheless, this letter was written to the church. Those of us who call on Jesus, right? So if you're not there, all you have to do to get there is simply pray. Lord, I want you to come and save me. I want to make you Lord and Savior of my life. And when you do that, you turn over control, right? But you have to make that decision. I can't do that for you. The goal, he said, is righteousness and holiness. The righteousness to be found in right standing with God. Now, let me explain something. To be found in right standing with God is not something that you can do. So just relax. You go, ooh, thank God. Because I don't know how to do that. Good, because you can't do that. There's nothing in yourself that you can do to be found right with God. Jesus paid the price for you to be found right with God. So just thank him and just walk in your righteousness. You are righteous. Say, look at your neighbor and say, you're righteous. And here's the other part. You're holy. You don't have to say that. But I know some of you look in a mirror and you say, you don't look holy. Yeah, I say that all the time to myself. You don't look like a pastor. I'm not sure what that looks like, but nevertheless, according to most people, I don't look like that. You know, holiness is not something that you get by doing holy things. Holiness is what you have as a result of what Jesus did. Now, we can perfect our holiness by doing some spiritual things. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but it doesn't make you any more holy. So what's the point? You'll get it in a minute, I promise. All right, this is how we change our spiritual clothing. You change your spiritual clothing three ways. It's real simple, but here's the first way. When you make the choice to change. When you make the choice to change. Jesus doesn't say, hey, time to change your clothes. Here's a new set. He just says, I have a new set available for you, but you have to decide when you want to change them. When you get tired of wearing the same old clothes and you're tired of what those same old clothes represent is the day that you go, I had enough of these clothes. had enough of that past. I had enough of the things I used to be and used to do. I'm not doing that anymore. Time to change. You have to make the choice to change. Somebody here today, some of you here today still live like you're not in Christ, but you are in Christ. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm just this reality. So some of us like to live like this. 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in heaven, right? I feel because this way I'm in control. I feel safe. I got this 1 foot in heaven. I got this other. I'm having fun over here. Boy, this is fun right here. Woo, this is fun up in here. But then I come to church on Sunday. I get, how you doing? How you doing, brother? Good. Blessed, you know. You know, we got church language. We got church face. We got church clothes. I know, I'm stepping on some toes. Huh? So, but here's, make a choice. You got to make a choice to change, right? And Jesus will let you follow on your terms. You can follow. But when you're not living the abundant life that he paid for, don't look at him and say, what's up, bro? I don't get it. Why aren't I living in the abundant life that you said you promised? I read the Bible and I see you blessing this one and blessing that one and blessing that one, but you're not blessing me. And I think, you know, and I look, well, Jesus is silent. He ain't saying nothing. Because you the answer. Because you the problem. In a minute you decide, you figure out you the problem, you'll fix the problem. When you live for self and you live and not live for Christ, this is what you have. You have a life of struggle, pain, heartache, loss, fear, anxiety. You got a shingle hanging outside your house. Fear lives here. Anxiety lives up in here. Loss lives in here. Lack lives in here. Everything lives. I don't have those shingles outside of my house. You know what's hanging outside of my house? Blessed beyond measure. Don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean that I don't sometimes travel through those places. I visited struggle. I visited pain. I visited fear. I visited a little anxiety every now and then. But I visit. I'm not living. Me and Jesus, we close. And I live with him. And I live in the abundant life that he paid for. And I'm just passing through. Whew, thank God this pain ain't going to stay. Because tomorrow I'm waking up to a new day. Tomorrow I'm waking up to hope. Tomorrow I'm waking up to abundance. I'm not worried about what's happening right now because I'm not staying in right now. You're going to go through. So don't think just because you're a Christian, you're not going to go through those things. You're going to go through those things and a whole lot more. You're just going to go, here it is, through them. Just passing through. Have a nice day. It's like Joshua said. Joshua called the children of Israel together in the promised land. And he said, hey, you guys, you choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. This is what he said. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You do whatever you want. And that's what I'm telling you today. You guys will do whatever you want. And you do. Because, pass, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? Sometimes I want to say, look in the mirror. But I can't. I gotta be the pastor. Well, let's look at your spiritual life. What's the last thing God said to you? And they'll tell me something. Well, I heard God say do this or do that. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing that? Well, no. Well, you're not gonna hear anything else until you go back and do that. And then once you do that, he's got some more information for you, but he's not saying anything until you go back and fulfill that. The more you choose your voice over God's voice, the more he'll let you be driven by your voice. And the moment that you surrender to his voice is when his voice will become the loudest, most important voice in your life. And then you start blocking out all those other voices. That ain't from you. Nope. That fear ain't from you. This anxiety ain't from you. This is not from you. I'm choosing you, Jesus. Then you start making different choices than you used to make. Look what he said in verse 18 of Ephesians 4. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. The more darkened you become, the more clouded your understanding of God and his ways will become, and a hard heart is not willing to change or be changed. Well, I guess Jesus says, ain't going to change me. Not if you don't want to be. Jesus, that's what I love about God. He doesn't go, I'll put your arm behind your back. I'm strong arming you. I'm going to make you change. No. He says, look, I got all this available. It's all available. Look, open the Bible. Look at all that stuff's available. 7,200 promises, give or take, are all available to you. That's pretty good, right? Who wants some of that? Yeah. Make the choice to change your clothes. Number two, you initiate the change when you have a plan. Ephesians 4:22 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put off, the epitome, to lay aside or to lay down. Change happens because you made a choice, but to see and experience the change, there has to be a plan initiated. How many of you have ever made, be honest with me, you ever made a New Year's resolution that you did not fulfill? Go ahead and raise your hand. Everybody, just raise your hand. Because we've all made them. And this is what happens. I've been in gyms my whole life. I've been working out my whole life. And it still aggravates me because January rolls around and all these new people join the gym. And the gym gets, and then they're all up on the machines and stuff. And I start to get aggravated, and I just look at Mallory, and I go, don't worry, they won't be here but two more weeks, and they'll leave. And this is what happens. 2 weeks into the year, someone will ask you, hey, how's that New Year's resolution going? You'll be like, oh, I quit that last week. Because we don't stick to things we don't make a plan for. People say, I want to lose 50 pounds this year while they're eating Oreos. Hey, you want to go to a buffet tonight? I'm going to eat good stuff. Every change starts with a decision, but a decision without subsequent action is worthless. Until you create some sort of action plan, listen, starts right here. Until you create an action plan, nothing's changing. I can say I want to work out all day long, but until I actually say, okay, you know what? I'm laying out my clothes tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'm setting my clock at this time, and I'm getting out of that bed, and I'm going. All right? You got to go. I told you it all starts here. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, I read it a minute ago, to the graduates. He said, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? The renewing of your, yeah, not the renewing of your resolve, but the renewing of your mind. You got to start to change the things you're thinking about. Develop a plan. It all starts right here. Now listen to me. I'm not talking, this is not a self-help message. Eddie, don't preach self-help message. I preach God-help message. There's a whole world of self-help. Go to Barnes & Noble to give you. There's a whole self-help section. We can't help Jack up in here, right? But Jesus can help everything. The entire battle starts in your mind. So win the battle there with a plan of action. And number three, last but not least, you put on the change by taking action. Ephesians 4:24 says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The actions that we must put on must be holy actions. If I'm going to be this holy person that Jesus has created me to be, that I already am, then I must start doing something that reflects what has already happened on the inside, right? Or maybe I'm not really who I say I am. Just a thought. He said we're to put on. The word is in duo in the Greek language. And it means to array or clothe yourselves with. He said we're to clothe ourselves with righteousness, dikaiosune, the equity of character or the justification, being right before God. Remember what I told you a minute ago. Listen to me. You can't do anything to be right with God. You can only accept your righteousness in God because of what Jesus did for you. Amen? You've been made right. And therefore, we should begin to reflect the image that of our Creator by our actions and our attitudes. It starts by practicing, listen to me, here's the word, holy activity. So if I say I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm just asking a question, shouldn't I have some actions, shouldn't I have some sort of manifestation of what's happened on the inside coming out on the outside? I'm wondering. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I will be. What are spiritual disciplines? We call them spiritual disciplines. What are spiritual disciplines? I don't want to turn you off by saying the word discipline because people go, discipline, oh my God, here we go. He's going to make me do stuff. I'm not making you do anything. Spiritual disciplines, here they are. The first one, I believe every believer should do this, have a prayer life. I don't know how you can be a follower of Jesus and not talk to him. I don't know how you can, matter of fact, I don't know how you can be in any relationship and not talk. They say great marriages happen because of great communication. Right? Yeah. We're working on that. We're working that out. 36 years. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I want you to know, you can't have a relationship with Jesus and not talk to him. Not much of a relationship there, right? So if you want to understand the heart of the Father, you want to understand the heart of God for your life, you want to know what Romans 12:2 says. What did he say? He said that we'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Listen to me. God has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for every one of your lives, and the only way that you're going to find it is to begin to pray. The second spiritual discipline that you should be involved in is Bible study, some sort of study. Now, listen what I'm telling you. I love that you come here on Sundays, and I love that you participate, and I love that you're following along and taking notes and all that stuff, and it's a great thing, but you shouldn't just go home and throw the notes on the counter and forget about them. I give you notes, and I give you scriptures so you can go home and begin to study them yourself. How many of you, your parents are still alive? Isn't it nice? So let me ask you, when you go visit, I know I go visit my mom. My mom and dad are 84. They live in Mandeville. If I go visit my mom, she doesn't go, here, sit down. Let me feed you, honey. She doesn't get a fork and stick it to my mouth. Come on, open up. I got some. I'd be like, Mom, back off. I can do this on my own. I'm a big boy, right? That would be weird, and that would be kind of dysfunctional if mommy was still feeding me when I went to her house. I want you to know, I'm not your mommy, and you guys should. And I don't mean that rudely or trying to, but you guys should begin to start feeding yourselves the Word of God. That means you got to go by yourself at some point other than Sunday morning and go open the Bible yourself and begin to study. What's God saying to you? It's called self-feeding, right? Bible study. Get in a Bible study with other people. Begin to discuss the Word together. It's powerful. The next one is just Bible reading. Listen, I think that every believer should have a Bible in your house that you not just collecting dust on a coffee table. That's what it did in my house growing up. We had a big white one, and it sat on a coffee table and just collected. My mom dusted it. Nobody knew what was in it. Might not have been anything. I have no idea. But we should open it every day and read it. You know why? Because what we put in eventually is what's coming out. So when the trouble happens and the struggle happens and all those things happen, what do you have to draw on? Read the Word every day. You don't need to read chapters. Just read a verse or two. The next one is fasting. Now fasting. Here we go. All right. Now he's talking about something. I want nothing to be a part of none of that. No, churches today don't talk about fasting, but I want you to know it's a spiritual discipline that's often forgot about, and it's a very powerful tool in the hands of a believer. When we couple fasting and prayer, breakthrough happens in your life. We just sang a song about breakthrough. Anybody need a spiritual breakthrough in their life? Anybody? Yeah, how about fast and pray. What does that look like? Fast a meal. fast a day, fast a couple of days, a week. There's no law. If you fast, you got to do it for a week. You can't only drink water. You can fast any way that God leads you to fast. Just fast. Sacrifice something, and in that time, draw close to God through prayer, reading the Bible, do those things. I promise you, you'll see spiritual breakthrough in your life. The next one, again, this is one of those areas nobody talks about. It's generosity. Nobody talks about generosity, but it's a spiritual discipline. The act of giving. Not, I don't give to get. I don't give because I want people to notice me. I don't want to be recognized. I give because I enjoy giving. I enjoy seeing other people blessed by me giving something to them. Listen, you want to experience the blessing of giving? Just give. Somebody mentioned, Preston mentioned when he was up here giving his testimony, he said, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. You know what? If you got two pennies, give one away. You want to see God move in your life in financial ways? Give something away that's valuable. Y'all looking at me like, right, you this pastor's on crack. Pastor got an addiction problem. Pastor does not have an addiction problem. Let's get that. Let's make sure we don't get that on the air wrong. Yeah, right? I am addicted to Jesus. Yes, we are. Generosity will unlock doors in your life, I promise you. Listen, fellowship is the next one. God put us in this thing called the body of Christ so that we could be around like-minded people. I want you to know we are products of our environments. You don't like your environment? I mean, you don't like the product? Check your environment. If your environment is toxic, it's because of what you've allowed in the environment. I put people around me that are like-minded, like belief, that are building me up, not trying to tear me down. Promise you, changes everything. Fellowship. And then the last one is partnership or partnering. When you become a partner with your church, we're in this together. A lot of churches do church membership. We do church partnership because God called us to partner together to do this great thing he's called us to do. And I believe when we partner together, we're fulfilling the Great Commission in our lives and in the life of the church. And so partnering is a great way. It's also a great way that God can be. It's what he does to call people, and the fact that he still calls us and calls us to be partners with him, I think is amazing. So partner with people. So again, to change your spiritual clothing, do these three things. Very simple. You make the choice to change. That happens today. God, I need to make a change. I can't keep putting on the same wrong spiritual clothing every day. I got to make a change. You initiate the change with a plan. Where does that start? Right here. Got to start thinking about some different things. And the third part is you put on the change by taking action. I began to do these holy actions, these spiritual disciplines. And this is what happens. Listen, when we first start spiritual disciplines, they seem a little mechanical, and they don't seem very spiritual, right? You're like, this is like kind of, anybody remember the first time when you got saved, you tried praying? Did it seem weird? It did for me. I remember, like, I would have to get, like, in posture, right? Like, it would be like, I'm going to get like this, and I'm going to put my hands like, because I was taught, you got to close your eyes, you got to get a certain way. And then if I couldn't do that in my car. It's real hard in my car to do that. Wow. Close your eyes while you're driving, not a smart thing. But here's the thing. God just said, no, dude, I just want to connect with you. Just talk to me. So I just start talking to him all day. So we just have conversations all day, every day, just like I'm talking to you. And that's the way he wants it. He's a dude. Sorry, ladies, he's a dude. And he just wants to connect. The creator wants to connect with his creation. Talk to me. He already knows what you're going to say, but isn't it cool just opening up to him and being real? Man, God is so good, you know. How about just telling him he's good? How many of you just go to God in prayer without wanting anything? Not a lot of us. Most of us are like, got a couple of needs, got things going on, you know. Instead of going, hey, you know what, God, you're just good. I praise you just for who you are. And just start thanking God for who he is. And God, thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for paving the way to heaven for me. God, thank you that you have your word says that you created a place for me. There's a room built on your house with my name on. I'm so thankful for that. I can't wait to see it. Hope it's decorated like I like. Take action. Would you stand with me? Listen to me. Nothing changes in your life spiritually until something changes in your life spiritually. But you get to decide that. So today I want to give you an opportunity to come to the platform if you're ready to make a spiritual change by changing your spiritual clothing. If that's you, I want you to come and I want to pray for you that God would empower you to make the change that he's calling you to make right now. Let's take the posture, if we will, of surrender. Yeah, it's our hands open, raised. God, just God, thank you so much, Jesus, that you paid the price for every one of us. And you call us and you set us apart. God, you call us righteous and you call us holy. God, not because we do anything or not because we do things right or we don't do things right, but God, you call us righteous and holy because you paid the price for that. God, we're thankful. And God, today I pray for the people at this platform, this altar, who are saying, God, I got to change my clothes. I got to change those spiritual clothing. I can't continue to put on the same junk over and over and over. I can't continue to wake up every day and do the wrong things, knowing it's the wrong thing. I'm ready to offer you complete leadership in my life. You are Lord. And as we've said so many times here, if you're not Lord of all, you're not Lord at all. And today we're making you Lord of all. Thank you, Jesus, that you are going to take us exactly where it is we're supposed to go and exactly at the time we're supposed to be there. And God, we're going to be patiently waiting on you. We give you all our praise today because you're so worthy. We say, God, be with us throughout the summer. I pray, God, for a great summer ahead as we lean in and as we continue to see all the things that we have because of our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.